AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hunter is here today. Hey, Hunter.
Hello.
How are you today?
Pretty good.
Have we updated our scared to death standings as far as the weather? Because the weather was, it was looking like it was going to go bad. Like this storm was kind of developing. Although I'm noticing you got a hat on in there. You've got your hood up. Are you okay? Are you feeling sick?
I was a little sick.
Well, that's good to know. Thanks so much for getting anywhere near you for the rest of the day. Thanks.
You're in your own private little box in there, protected.
Protected, yeah. You're protecting all you guys from me. So we are going to get something, although tomorrow's going to be 41 degrees.
Yeah.
That's like 25 degrees higher than it's supposed to be. They are downplaying it a little bit. I don't quite know. It initially kind of was looking like where it looks like there was a chance of snow. Then all of a sudden it kind of ballooned, and they were saying 6 to 10 inches is it was going to be likely. But now they're kind of starting to pull back on that a little bit. I saw the WCCO TV folks. They were saying around 5 inches, 4 to 5 inches, maybe 6 inches for the metro, but that'd probably be the southeast side. And, you know, it looks like probably about 5 to 7 inches is what we're looking like here, which is still a good snowstorm, but not the, you know, 10 inches. Now you start getting up to a foot. That's where it starts getting interesting.
When do they say it starts?
Tomorrow night, but we're going to get rain first.
Yeah, that's what I heard is the frozen drizzle.
Chance of drizzle before midnight, then snow, possibly mixed with sleet between midnight and 1 a.m., then snow after 1. Thanks for National Weather Service for narrowing this down to the quarter hour. The snow could be heavy at times, low around 13. So when you wake up on Thursday morning, it's going to be just magical. I'm going to just guess. It doesn't sound like enough snow to where things are going to get canceled, but it does sound like it's going to be enough snow that if you do not give yourself plenty of time, and if those trucks are not out there trying to clear that snow right away, it's going to be an absolute nightmarish mess. One of those two-hour drives just to get in from the suburbs into the city. It's going to be one of those situations. So anticipate that, and don't be that idiot who's trying to drive 60 miles an hour because no one told me it was going to snow. Hate that guy. Just, you know, I'm sorry your life, you don't have the ability to coordinate your life a little bit better to where you can kind of give yourself some time between, you know, the time you wake up and you try to have to get going to work. But my goodness. So that's what it looks like. 3 to 5 inches. The good news is this, not this weekend, because what's the lows going to be here? The low on Saturday night's minus 14. So not this weekend. Sunday night, minus 12. Not this weekend. The week afterwards, that's going to be cross-country skiing nirvana. It should be nice. You ski at all? Cross-country
no.
Ski? No. Right. You do anything physically active at all?
No.
All right. Welcome to the show. Yeah. It's welcome to America. So just keep that in mind. So there is a chance of some snow coming on in. How much? It doesn't look to be that bad. But, you know, it's going to be messy. Thursday morning is going to be a mess, and Thursday afternoon as well. Sounds like Wednesday evening should be fine, though. It sounds like anything that's going to be coming out of the sky is going to be well into the evening on Wednesday. So you should be okay on your afternoon commute tomorrow. 952-946-6205. We'll keep up to date on that for you tomorrow. Yesterday, Hunter, I mentioned that I was at, over the weekend, I went to a girls' hockey game, and I just came to the realization, just watching the programs and watching how expensive that sport is, that my guess is in 20 years, two-thirds of the teams that are playing right now will not be playing. It just will consolidate it down even more and more and more. And I got a little grief for that yesterday because, I mean, there are just people that's like, don't you besmirch the beauty of high school hockey. You know, all right. I get it. There's a romance to it. You know, it's the official sport of the state. And, you know, kids are, you know, young kids looking up with dreamy eyes at possibly being a state champion and hanging a banner up there. Those years are gone. I mean, when my senior year of high school at Edina, we got knocked out by Richfield. Richfield knocked out Edina. Edina was supposed to win the whole thing. Richfield knocked it out. Richfield doesn't even have a team anymore. Or if they got a team, it's like a club team. They don't even have a team. Richfield High School stopped playing hockey. You know, it's a changed game, and there's a story that almost like it was made for me to discuss this again comes to light at Dinah High School. In a novel effort to regular season prep sports in Minnesota is going to be charging a $100 per game fee on media outlets live streaming its boys hockey games played at Braemar Arena. The fee seeks to combat the effects of what Hornet Activities Director Troy Stein called a downward trend of people not attending games by requiring outlets to pay up if they want to transmit live video or audio coverage over the internet. Okay, first of all, Troy, this is something we have discussed on this show. This is not about Edina, nor is it about hockey per se. These glowing rectangles we have, everyone has in their hands, it takes away from everything. And we've talked about, remember when I talked about, we went to a boys basketball game, Hopkins Boys, which are a good team. Mm-hmm. Hopkins Boys basketball game, went to a game. There was no one there. Went to the boys football game. No one there. Now, boys football is not very good. But still, when it was a Friday night and I was in high school, everyone went to these games. It was a Saturday afternoon. There's a basketball game on. You were at the gym. You went and watched it. Today, it's just too easy to sit there and look at a glowing screen and not go and do something. And even when we did go to the boys game, there were a lot of parents there, but there are hardly any kids there. And I told my kids, I want you to be like those kids down in the student section where they're cheering and they're happy and they're excited. They're having a great time because those kids are having a great time. And the vast majority of kids are staying at home and not going to the games. That's not you at Edina. That's not Edina hockey. That's just you're competing with every television show and movie ever made, plus thousands of daily new YouTube videos. That's what you're competing with. And that's an unfair fight. You can say anything you like. It's an unfair fight. Edina, which began imposing the fee last season, is believing it to be the only school in the state that requires a charge for live streaming. While other schools have sought to combat attendance declines by making games free for students to attend, Edina's approach leaves ticket prices alone. Instead, charges those who make boys hockey home games available to fans to watch on computers or mobile devices. So, okay, this is not a wealth issue. Edina, trust me, the $5 entrance fee at Braemar, is it $5? $5 for Hopkins for pretty much all sports.
Who knows? So
it's not an issue for Edina. You're competing against glowing rectangles. And you're competing against, some of the reasons why these kids are not there is because there's so many other sports that they're doing, and they're doing their camps and they're doing their clinics and they're doing these things. See, sports has changed as a whole. I mean, either if you want to participate in sports, and once again, hockey is, I said this yesterday, it's the alpha male of expensive sports. It is 100% the most expensive sport. And we were praying our children had no interest in hockey when they were born because, you know, that can bankrupt you. And let alone the 3 a.m. ice times, you want to haul a kid on out to an ice arena. But when some guy looked, and I don't know when this happened, but someone looked at a parents group, probably in an Edina or a Woodbury or a Wayzata, and said, you know, if your little kid wants to play high school hockey, I mean, only the best kids are seventh graders making the varsity team. So if you want that seventh grader to be there, well, you know, you better start a clinic when they're a fifth grader, or a traveling team when they're a fourth grader, or a competitive fly-in league when they're a third grader. And that literally is where things have gotten right now. I mean, there was an article in the Star Tribune not that long ago about people foregoing high school sports so they can play on these exclusive club teams that go around that seem to be, I guess, these are the better path now to, like, you know, colleges and Olympic teams. And so that the best players in the state in any given sport generally are not playing the high school sports anymore.
Yeah, do you know the LeVar Ball and the Ball brothers?
Yes.
He's 16 and playing with his brother who is at UCLA, and they're on a Latvia pro team.
Lithuania. They're in Lithuania. No, it's you and the marquee guys that get all the attention aside, you know, here in, you know, pick a sport, volleyball. you know, if you got volleyball, your kid, if your kid's really good at it, they're probably in at least one training facility, one club facility. They might play at the high school level, but the club team might be like, you know, we'd rather you didn't. Or the high school actually is trying to limit this by saying, you know what, you can't play on both the club team and the high school team. And so they want you to pick one or the other. And so you're still probably playing 2-3 games every Saturday, 2 or 3 games every Sunday, 2 games on a Friday night. Sometimes you have tournaments where you play on Thursday night. You've got training. You got specialized dietary specialists. I mean, these sports, just to participate, are insanely inexpensive. And really, there's a detachment. And so not only are you losing kids to not go to these things because of these screens, but it goes across all boards. And let's move past athletics for a second. Band. How many kids are in an extra band or taking extra classes or are in academic groups or in science groups or in you know, some kind of public service community or in their church? We have adopted schedules which are far more akin to an executive at a corporation for our children than we should have. And so the days of us of yore, Edina, where you're sitting there saying, why aren't kids here? Well, one, A, the sport is god-awful expensive, so most people can't afford to play it, so that's why you're losing out. And when you're only playing 20 teams each year that have a chance at a state championship, well, that kind of diminishes it as well. Once again, back when I was my senior year of high school, when Richfield knocked out Edina, that was completely unexpected. Today, that wouldn't even happen. It'd be a 17-0 game. And then when the losing team walks off the ice and half the team says, I'm done with this sport, no one in the Minnesota State High School League is saying anything about, well, maybe we should try to remedy this problem. But not only that, you have whatever other sport they're in. I mean, soccer, baseball, it doesn't matter what time of year these sports are played. There's a clinic going on for them. There's a training facility that's taking kids in with under the guise of, well, if you want your kid to get to that next level. And then there's the other activities that these kids are dragged into. Used to be, you know, you played sports, you practiced 4 nights a week, you had to do some homework, got to go to church, got to maybe you played in band, maybe you were part of the play. Nowadays, you want to be part of the play? Well, you better be enrolled in acting studio. You better be working as an intern at the Guthrie if you want a chance at the local high school production to be the lead. It's, you know, you better have TV work under your belt if you want to be, you know, one of the leads in Guys and Dolls, for goodness sakes. No, the whole thing is the minute people started realizing you could make a mint of money by basically starting to push these kids younger and younger and taking more and more money out of parents' pockets and getting them into whatever the sport, whatever the activity, and getting them into other things. And then on the opposite side of that, the minute we gave these kids downtime, the capability of looking at a glowing rectangle and completely escaping realism, well, that's why kids don't participate in sports. They can't afford it. They can't commit the time to it. And, you know, frankly, it's just easier to sit there and watch it on a screen. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I stand by my bet. 2/3 of the high school hockey teams in this state will not be playing in 20 years. Let's take a break. When I come on back, we get to say goodbye to the Orc. The Orc, he was in the race for so little. Osmek leaves the race. We'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, like, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hey, podcast fans, did you know that StandUpRecords.com has live comedy CDs of some of your favorite podcast personalities? Folks like Jackie Cation of The Dork Forest, Robert Kelly of You Know What Do, the Sklar Brothers from Sklarbro Country, Doug Stanhope from Doug Stanhope's Podcast, and Mark Maron from WTF. You've heard them for free. Why not consider spending some money to find out what they do for a living? Just head on over to StandUpRecords.com or look for StandUp Records at Amazon.com or the iTunes Music Store. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Congratulations, you survived the holidays. Now what about cleaning up that holiday mess? Fortunately, right now is the best time of the year to call Zero Res and let their professionals do their empowered water thing. Why? Because Zero Res is having a holiday hangover sale. This month you can get 3-room Zero Res clean starting at only $119. Plus this month you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Not Ozmek, not the orc. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I gotta believe, to tell you the truth, though, someone finally said to him, okay, I gotta share a funny story with you beforehand. This will, you'll understand where I'm going with this. So I was at a radio station in Ames, Iowa, of course, Iowa State University, and our station owner at that time came on, and we had a big staff meeting. We're planning our big concert that we do with the, so you're bringing in, trying to bring in some college level band, right? All of our jaws hit the floor when our owner said, we're bringing in Yanni. And we're like, what? And she was like, oh, the kids love Yanni. Yeah, that was kind of the same sound that everyone was just, what? And it was some sort of, our gut feeling was she saw some video from some like Eurostop where there's like some 17-year-old Euro girls that thought Yanni was great. It took every one of us, including the consultant for the station, looking at her and saying, for God's sakes, do not schedule Yanni as our college concert series of the year. Do not do this. And she was, the entire time was like, are you sure? I thought Yanni was great. That is exactly what happened when Senator Dave Ozmek decided to run for governor. Because I got to believe everyone around him like, no, Dave, you're not going to win, man. You are the only person in the entire House and Senate. You are the only guy that voted against not selling off people's browser history to the highest bidder. You are the only one against net neutrality in the state. Joyce Pepin, Kurt Dowd, Sarah Anderson were all for net neutrality and not selling off browser history to the highest bidder. You inexplicably not only went along to being the one sole vote, the rumor is, and I don't know if this is true or not, but the rumor is that Senator Ozmek was the guy in conference committee who ran in there, yanked out net neutrality and the prohibition of selling browser history out of the bill and put it back on the floor. Did he really think he was going to win? I mean, everyone must have been like, Yanni is not going to be a good concert. You can't be against net neutrality and expect to win in this state. You sure as heck can't be for pro-selling browser history. Okay, let's just give up the ghost, guys, okay? You don't want anyone seeing what you've been looking at online. Let's just, there's not a person right now who's like, oh yeah, I'm comfortable 100%. Go ahead and sell my browser history. Nope. No one wants to sell your browser history sold. But that guy was for it. Part of me, I know he's like Lake Minnetonka, so I'm wondering if he thought it was like a sweater. I wore the sweater. It was stylish when I wore it. And the next year, everyone else loved that sweater and thought it was great. And they were all wearing it. You weren't going to get that kind of reaction with net neutrality. So long, Ork. The Ozmek is gone. Dave Ozmek, Senator Ozmek, is no longer running for the governor of Minnesota. Running for the U.S. Senate, though, is Karen Housley. And as a matter of fact, she actually picked up quite a bit of coin in this, since she's announced. She's picked up quite a bit of money. And she's running as a Republican to take Franken's seat against Tina Smith. If I don't know, has Tina Smith, I couldn't find this. Do you know if Tina Smith has officially announced that she's going to run again?
I believe so.
I thought she had. I couldn't.
Because all the news reports are saying that she's running. And I thought when she was confirmed, she mentioned something.
She's going to. Yeah, I thought that's what she said, too. So, all right. Anyway, needless to say, she's running as a Republican. Karen Housley. K-A-R-I-N Housley. She's getting these Google ads out here. Okay. We cannot wait. All right. In a perfect Republican world, no one will confront her, okay, until after the convention. After the GOP convention, then she's going to be willing. Oh, I guarantee you, there's a lot of things about Donald Trump I dislike. But she cannot say that prior to the convention. She cannot. As a matter of fact, she has to be 100% on board with Donald Trump to get that Republican nomination, especially in Minnesota, where you're liking all these outstate areas that still love Trump. She has to be incredibly pro-Trump. And so right now, people, you've got a mission. Speaking of glowing rectangles, every one of us has got a camera on this thing. Confront her everywhere. She goes to the grocery store. Not church. And if she's with, family doing something, that's fine. But if she's in the grocery store, she's getting a cup of coffee, she's walking down the street, turn on that camera, put it in her face and said, what do you think about Trump's decision on net neutrality? What do you think Trump's decision on the tax bill? What do you think about this? And get her on the record, because one of two things is going to happen. Either she's going to have to say, I 100% support Trump because the GOP primary hasn't happened, or she's going to be frantically running away, which will make for even better video, frankly. If she's running away. So it's either or. You got the two options there. And needless to say, it's a win for both sides there, on either side for the Democrats. But you need to put her on the record because, once again, the greatest anchor around every Republican in this upcoming election is Trump. And I guarantee you, when she gets, especially she gets to June and July, Karen Housley, if she becomes the GOP nominee, she'll be like, I disagree with Donald Trump on this, and I sure disagree with Donald Trump on that. Because they're all going to get the clearance to do that. They're all going to get, all Republicans, unless they are in the safest of safe Republican districts, like Utah, all Republicans are going to be talking about how I disagreed with Trump. They've got their speeches already planned. Well, when I voted for him, I was hoping for a change, but I've got some real questions about what happened with the Russians and all these things. They're already planning on it because that's the only way they're going to be able, if they can convince enough independents and moderate Democrats to think that, well, maybe this Republican is, they really are concerned about Trump. They're not. This is all going to be a campaign, ad campaign that the Republicans have come up with to make it seem like they've got some real questions and they're going to stand up to Trump, because they know as well as anyone else, if the House goes back, if the Senate goes back to the Democrats, it's over for Trump and it's over for the GOP, because all of a sudden all these secrets are about to come on out. As long as I think, frankly, if we get rid of Pelosi and Schumer, I think we need new leadership on the Democratic side in the House and the Senate. But the gig's up if the House or the Senate and or the Senate goes back to the Democrats. The gig is up. And not only that, but you have a lot of states where the census in 2018, you're going to have whoever wins in 2018 is going to be in power when the redistricting and the rules get put up. And they have to hold these seats. They have to hold these houses and these senates. They have to do that. And so there is going to be an incredible amount of pressure, to make it seem like I never once agreed with Donald Trump. This is why you need UC Karen Housley anywhere, anywhere. Get that camera out. Get it in their face and start asking her pointed questions. Do you think that Donald Trump's done a good job in Puerto Rico? Do you agree with net neutrality? Do you think that he should be putting out foreign policy with a nuclear country like North Korea on Twitter? Do you think that basically that he's completely innocent of all the charges with Russia? Get her on record. And the more people that put cameras in these people's faces and start saying, did you vote for Trump and do you still support him, especially prior to the primary, that gives you more and more footage that they cannot run away from come July and August when they're desperately like, I never said I was in bed with Trump. Oh, really? We have the tape. Seriously, it's if you do this right, any Republican thinking of running, your ads against them come August and September of this year will be 30 seconds of them saying, I love Trump. I support Trump. I think Trump's doing a great job. Trump, 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 Trump. And they will never be able to get out from underneath that weight. So absolutely, you see Karen Housley, you see her anywhere, pull out your camera, turn it on, and just and be respectful and say, what do you think about Donald Trump? Did you vote for him? Do you support his policies? Because until that primary is over for the GOP, they can't escape that weight. They cannot. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee. I'm taking a few days off, but never fear, we still have a great show for you at 4 p.m. Ellie Krug will be filling in for me. You know her as the voice of Hidden Edges Radio, which you can hear on the weekends on AM 950. Ellie will have great guests, the latest news, and we'll be taking your calls from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. So listen in to the Mike McEntee Show with guest host Ellie Krug at 4 p.m. on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton-style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options, like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta, and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in friendly Crystal.
Hello to all my friends in the Twin Cities. Norman Goldman here. Every afternoon at 5 p.m. on AM 950, we're having fun.
That's not a nice thing to do.
Well, I disagree with him. You know, I'm trying to make you laugh.
Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that.
Sometimes I get lucky.
I find that appalling.
Well, we have a lot of silly sound clips, but I am a lawyer and we are serious here. Law, civics, politics, silliness, and humor. Join me 5 o'clock every afternoon on AM 950.
Moe's Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1971, providing a full spectrum of tax preparation and associated services. Think about it. Why would you take your most important financial information to a franchise operation with a cheap basic package that goes up dramatically once you're in the door? You can find out all you need to know about Moe's by visiting www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or call them at 612-721-2026. Don't be a blockhead. Go to the professionals at Moe's Tax Service.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 39. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 43. And Thursday, about 3 to 5 inches of snow with a high near 26. Lowry Hill Meats is your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farmers. They offer lots of different meat options, including sausages that are made fresh and in-house weekly using 40 recipes, plus they have delicious handcrafted sandwiches. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue. More at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Todd Colad is sponsoring us. That's right. You can sponsor the station if you like. All you have to do is call us 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. And we do appreciate that 100%. I want to make sure people understand that because Todd wanted us to promote the Women's March of Minnesota. They got Hear Our Voices coming up here on Sunday, January 21st. Now, yes, it's being put on by Women's March Minnesota, but it's not a march. This is actually an event at the Union Depot in St. Paul. Tickets are available for this. From 3:30 to 4:30 is the action hour, and 4:30 to 7 o'clock, they got music and MCs and basically, you know, great speeches and stuff like that. All sorts of great things are going to be happening. This is the Women's March Minnesota Presents Hear Our Voice. Once again, not a march. This is just more of an event that is going to be going on Sunday, January 21st, over at the Union Depot in St. Paul. And Todd wanted to make sure we mentioned that. So make sure you head on over there and enjoy that. Once again, if you'd like to sponsor the station, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. All right, off of politics per se. And what, by the way, one thing I do want to make sure I talk about, Karen Hounsley, you do need to, enough of this stuff about being nice. This is about the future of this country. And we cannot afford a Republican senator from Minnesota. We cannot. This is just, all she's going to be is another rubber stamp for Donald Trump. That's all she'll ever be. That's all these people ever are. They all come out and say, I'm an independent voice. The Rod Graham strategy. I'll be an independent voice. They have no intention of being an independent voice. They just want this to basically move their career forward. So Karen Hounsley should be a target for us in the sense being that you go out there and you get her on record now before the GOP primary. We should be hammering every single Republican in every district. I do not care how much of a lean to the right it is. The DFL should have a candidate in every single race coming up here. Every single one. And not some, oh, I guess no one else wants it, so I'll let you do it, candidate. A strong candidate. Any race we don't have a strong candidate is a race that the Republicans do not have to spend a dime on. And that is not a luxury the Democrats can afford. You have to make these guys spend. And trust me, in these rural districts where they're generally not used to any kind of competition, if you get a Democrat out there that's challenging them and they have to start spending money, that's coming from these other districts, especially the Democratic-leaning districts, that they might be able to hold. Less money going to some of these swing districts, the better chance there is in Minnesota, the Minnesota House goes back to the Democrats. You need a candidate in every one of these races, and you need to get these people on the record now before they have the chance to try to weasel out and say, I won't be just a rubber stamp for Donald Trump. Bull crud. Of course they will be. And so, and then you basically prove that now before the GOP primaries and their conventions, and you basically get them on the record and stating definitively, I support Donald Trump. Because they can't say, I don't support Donald Trump and win their GOP primary. They have to support Trump. That is the new litmus test of the GOP. So get them on the record or get them running for their lives from you with their phone, with your phone videos, okay? That's the important part. 952-946-6205. It didn't take long for the scene to sour inside the Anoka County Government Center after a dog and its owner joined a crowded queue of voters. Canine diarrhea soon struck. I'm assuming, presuming the dog. Leaving behind a bit of a mess, it became pretty clear that that dog had no service training, allowing it to be in their building for the first place. The hard truth, as County Administrator Jerry Soma puts it, it was just a pet. The messy mishap from 2016 spurred county officials to act. Anoka County now restricts animal lovers from toting ordinary pets into county facilities. From state houses to corner stores, government officials and business owners across the country are trying to crack down on the number of people who misrepresent pets as service animals and are weighing penalties for those flouting rules that restrict which animals may go where. Some animals that more animals than ever are being brought into restaurants, stores, hotels, airports, and shared spaces. Some have been trained to do tasks for people with disabilities and are granted public access under state and federal law, but others are just ordinary pets that owners are passing off as service animals so they can take them into places they don't belong. I'm going to go with this. This story came out from the Star Tribune the same day as a national story happened. Chris Slavin, this is from the national story. Chris Slavin was in an elevator a couple of years ago with Earl, her yellow lab service dog, sitting calmly beside her wheelchair. The doors opened and in walked in a woman holding a purse. In that purse was a teacup poodle the color of apricots. The doors closed, and as the poodle spotted Earl, that's when the trouble started. In an instant, the poodle leapt from its purse, flung itself at Earl, and clamped its teeth onto the bigger dog's snout, leaving Earl bleeding. As soon as it occurred, the woman said, "The poodle was a service dog," said Slavin, who has a severe spinal injury that requires her to use the wheelchair. She then said it wasn't a service dog, but an emotional support dog. Finally, she admitted it was just her pet. She just wanted to bring into the building with her. And that would happen in Reading, Massachusetts. I find this to be interesting because, personally, I've been on the side of we have to start. I'm kind of more on the, getting more and more on the side of we have to start limiting animals into buildings to be service animals that have been trained to be in these buildings. And I am a pet owner. I love pets. I would never just take my dog into the Skyway. I wouldn't because my dog's not trained. And my dog will go to the bathroom in the Skyway. And really, that's what this comes down to. I mean, sure, there's some barking, there's some growling that happens, but I have just seen too many times, I saw this at the airport one time, woman brings a dog in the airport, dog goes to the bathroom right in the middle of the concourse floor, picks up the dog and walks away, just leaves the mess, leaves feces on the ground for someone else to pick up. And it's totally unacceptable. And yet, I know people who proudly skirt these handicapped animals that are the animals that are service dogs for the handicapped, that they skirt those rules to basically bring their pet wherever they go. And that's not what those rules are for. And you know, this whole idea of it's an emotional support dog. Emotional support dogs are trained dogs too. As a matter of fact, my mother-in-law has trained a dog that she brings into senior centers and stuff like that so that the dog can be, you know, petted and be around the elderly. It's been trained. It's gone through extensive training. It has one of those coats that you have to earn to get, but well, nowadays you can go get one online. And the reality is this is a pretty big problem. Is that you're getting more and more people that want to bring pets wherever they go. And I'm actually on the side of, I think it's time for us to start regulating this more. That if it's a service animal, then absolutely. And I don't know if you put a tag on the dog that designates it as a service animal that shows that it has gone through the training, it has gone through, it's been recognized by some state board. I don't know if that's what you do. I don't know. I'm presuming there's something of that nature on these animals anyway, considering the value that, I mean, these animals are not cheap. This is a major investment to get an animal that's a service animal. And so I'm presuming there's something on them anyway. I just don't know why we're, you know, it's because some people are basically, you know, ruining it for everyone else. That now we have to kind of go back and say, yeah, the people that just bring their dogs in and don't clean up after the dogs and the dogs run wild and the dogs are barking, we have to now kind of regulate it. And you can look at people and say, well, that's not fair and that's bad and that's evil. That's the truth. You can't have, if people would clean up after the animal, which to a point you really can't, you can't really do that, you know, in depending on the circumstance, because I don't think most people are carrying a mop or anything with them. But if you can't clean up after the animal and the animal hasn't been trained to not go to the bathroom inside, well, that animal probably shouldn't be welcomed into just any building. 952-946-6205. What do you think? Do you think that the rules are too tough that animals should be allowed anywhere? Or do you feel as if we should actually put in more regulations and say, if you want to bring a dog in or a pet into a building, that it has to have some sort of documentation or a tag on it that says it is not just some emotional support dog, that it's actually a licensed from the state of Minnesota service animal that is, you know, ready to, you know, that you are, you know, you can, you know, attest to the fact that it's got the provenance to be there as a service animal. Gary is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on my earlier subject, the Republicans. Welcome in, Gary.
Yeah, you said that they're rubber stamp for Trump. I think it's much deeper than that. That whole party is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Koch network. Not just the Kochs, but their fellow privileged few billionaires. And you could show an example of it is when it was so unpopular with that tax cut, the Kochs told them, you do this or else we're not going to throw our money and we're going to beat your primary or something. It's very dangerous. It's a threat to our democracy and so few people have so much economic and political power. They're in our media, they control our media a lot, and they control the debate, everything that's going on. I think they're partly the reason we lost the Senate control in Minnesota here, around the country, things like that. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Gary. Well, no, there clearly is the money people. And the money people are, you know, frankly, there's a lot of people on the Democratic side who are big money people. But as I was talking to a guy today about, you know, when you look at the foundings of where we were at today, the John Birch Society and the Koch brothers' dad, who basically wanted to put forward this kind of idea of, you know, this libertarian utopia. Well, you know, that's where it's pushing from. But once again, that is the new litmus test. Trump is surviving at least these onslaughts from inside the Republican Party, partially because Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and Paul Ryan are bowing down to his power. But at the same time, that's the new standard. Is if you want to be the Republican, Trump has got to be a great guy. And you have got to, and don't get me wrong, the Republicans have already told anyone they've already said, if you get the nomination for a Republican, you can badmouth the living daylights out of Trump if it means you're going to win. We don't care. That's why you have to go after these people now, because they haven't won that nomination yet. And you need to get them on the record. Do you support Trump? Because I can tell you right now, they're going to be trying desperately to get away from Trump come November. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. One additional story with the dog thing here. This is off the Minnesota story. Equally worrying is what some perceive as a pushback on real service dogs because other animals' behavior. It gives all service dog organizations a bad name, says Mike Hogan, who trains service dogs with the Minnesota nonprofit Helping Paws. Hogan has seen the confusion that can arise about the state's service animal law in a recent visit to the Edina branch of the Hennepin County Library. Hogan said an employee approached and asked about Lincoln, the Labrador retriever he's training. When Hogan disclosed that Lincoln, who was wearing a service vest, was a service dog in training, he said staff asked the pair to leave, saying dogs in training are not allowed. Minnesota law says otherwise. Library officials have since followed up with Helping Paws to admit their error. There was just some general confusion, said Allie Turner, system services a division manager for the Hennepin County Library. It was a mistake on our part to ask them to leave. Well, it's the reason why they're getting confronted is because when you have a dog that's in there that's not a service animal, that's barking and yelling around and going to the bathroom all over everything, well, guess what? You know, it gives all service animals a bad name. And frankly, service animals are darn important. They are an absolute necessity. I have done my part. I don't know about you, Hunter, but I mean, I see those dogs and I want so desperately to go give them a pet because they're a good dog. That is a good boy or a good girl. And I go out of my way, and I've trained my kids to don't even acknowledge them because they're working. And I think that they are such an important element to our society that, you know, we can't get to a point where just someone who doesn't want to leave Mr. Buttons at home for 20 minutes basically is jeopardizing the in putting a stigma with service animals across the board because they're just being selfish, for lack of a better way to say it. Absolutely. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Bill McLeslie, owner of IP House in Minneapolis. We all know a working website is vital to business. But what happens when your website goes down? Many companies waste time just trying to find the right person to contact. That's why you need IP House. we offer reliable, secure hosting for websites. Our staff is watching 24 hours a day to make sure your website is always up. Discover our services at iphouse.com or call us 612-337-6337.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
I've discovered the true test of a vehicle is the road trip. This summer, I bought a new vehicle from Rudy Luther Toyota and immediately took it out on the road to DC and South Carolina. If you drive for 10 hours and you're not tired, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. When you're getting exceptional gas mileage with fewer stops, it tells you a lot about Toyotas. And when you feel safe, even when you're out of your comfort zone, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. It's my highest recommendation. Go to Rudy Luther Toyota and see for yourself at 394 and 169.
Robert Barile here, host of the show Laughing Matters, brought to you as always by Stand Up Records. Check them out online at standuprecords.com. Laughing Matters is now on Saturdays from 7 to 8 p.m. and the show will be pre-taped, which means that I can swear and say words like f*** and f***. As always, it'll feature some of the funniest comedians in the Twin Cities talking about the latest news and current events, and it's an hour of nonstop laughs you won't want to miss. And it's only on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, Richard from Auto Technical. Imagine life without a car. Just getting to daycare, then to work on the bus. Do you have a car or truck to donate? We have families waiting for a reconditioned vehicle from Auto Technical. Your gift will change their lives. Remember, we recondition the vehicle so you'll receive a much higher tax deduction. 612-919-5526. AutoTechnical.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Lowry Hill Meats is the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Full service butcher shop working with the family farmer. Beef, lamb, goat, poultry, there it is, and sausages made fresh and in-house. Since, of course, they've been going for a while. They're just fantastic. Located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. It is Lowry Hill Meats, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Hunter, you had an email there that someone emailing in and talking about there are some requirements here for service animals.
Yeah.
It's my daughter's service dog. This is Dr. Joseph Eastman. My daughter's dog is a service dog. A vest and registration card are required. One of the problems I've actually had, and that's something that's referenced in the national story, is that people can just go buy that vest anywhere. And so it looks like a dog is there. The thing which annoys me most of all, though, I think, is when it's clear that the animal is nothing. I mean, it is not there really as a social or an emotional support animal or anything. It's just this person wants to bring a dog with them everywhere. And it's generally the teacup ones, these little tiny dogs that are carried around like an accessory. And I've seen this where it's you know, it's like, oh, you got a dog there. And the first thing they quickly say, oh, it's an emotional support dog. Really? Because it seems like it's a dog that's been jammed in your purse that you're really not paying that much attention to as you bring it around with you everywhere. Like it's a baby doll, like it's a kid's toy. And are dogs like that? I mean, I'm not saying that all service animals are labs or golden retrievers or anything like that. But how many emotional support, officially trained service dogs are miniature poodles, miniature schnauzers, pugs? How many of them, I mean, do they all go through? I mean, how many of them have gone through the training and have a little mini vest that says that they're viable? Because those are the dogs, and frankly, those are the dogs that generally are the ones I've noticed. And they'll sit down someplace. I've been at restaurants where they'll sit down, they'll pull the dog out, the dog goes run underneath the table, comes back, jumps back in, gets back in the purse. Well, what have they done? They've gone to the bathroom on the floor, and then they've left it, and then they leave. And that's not a service animal. I don't care what your argument is.
at that point. That clearly is not a service animal at that point. It's just you brought your dog in and you didn't want to leave him at home. I think we have to be more stringent on this because there are a lot of people who are afraid of dogs, and do not besmirch them or judge those people. If a person is afraid of a dog, they're right to be. I mean, it's a shame, but they had something happen to them where there is a fear of dogs, and that's fine. That is a right to a person to be afraid of something. You don't have to jam that dog in their face. And I think that we have to maybe start looking at this. I'm for 100% for service animals. And if someone needs an emotional support dog, I'm for that. But they should go through training, and they shouldn't be just clearly some pet that you just didn't want to leave at home. Caroline is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Caroline.
Hi, I'm calling because I work in low-income housing, and we frequently have to deal with emotional support dogs. And they're very different from service dogs because they don't require any training whatsoever. You simply need a note from your doctor that says you need an emotional support animal. And if that emotional support animal needs a support animal, you get two. It's basically, it's not necessarily trained or anything. It's
Wait a second here.
So that they don't have to pay a deposit for the animal. But so there's no training required for emotional support.
Wait a minute. You said something I got to go back to. If the emotional support animal itself needs an emotional support animal, that the emotional support animal can get an emotional support animal.
Yes. We have that frequently happen. And if your emotional support animal is a duck or a donkey, we got to let it in.
Well, that's getting ludicrous now. That's getting...
I know, it is.
It's
but
getting
those
ludicrous.
Are the rules. We just had a seminar on this. We were surprised that it actually could go that far. But it can because there isn't really any regulation on it.
Well,
there's nothing really required.
If an emotional support animal, does the emotional support animal have to be house trained? I mean, does it have to... If you have your emotional support dog, and the dog goes to the bathroom in the room, can you, as a business, say, I'm sorry, you can't have it in here, you've created a mess? And I mean, there's a health concern with that. So is there, can you remove someone from the facility if they have an animal that's not, obeying rules under that guise?
I don't know about a public facility, but in our housing, in our apartments, no. If they're not trained to go to the bathroom, we can certainly say, you need to try and do something about this, but it's not required. It's just required to simply give them support.
So even in common areas, so the person decides to open up the door of their apartment, lets their service animal go down the hall, go to the bathroom in the hall, and come back in the house, and everyone sees the dog, the person do this, there is nothing you can do to say, I'm sorry, you can't do that.
We can say, you need to clean it up, we want you to clean up after your animal, and make those kind of rules, but if that's what their dog does every time they go out, we can't say, no, you can't have that.
Okay. Well, that's messed up.
That's, I know. It does cause quite a bit of damage, unfortunately.
Well,
In the buildings, because that's the case a lot of times. They're there simply for the emotional support, and that's it. And they aren't required to have the training. Service dogs require extensive training. They are well-behaved, and they have to be, they have to be so they can't be panicked by any situation or, easily jumpy or any of those kind of things. It's extensive training. That's kind of why they're so expensive, but... An emotional support animal, you can get basically anyone you want.
All right, and Carolyn, thank you very much. I want to get up because I'm got basically at the end of the show here. Here's what I want to say. I already know animal guy is going to call me up saying, Matt, emotional support animals are valuable. I'm not saying they're not. What I'm saying is this: is that the animals that are making these messes, that are barking at people, that are growling at people, that are going to the bathroom in public, they're the ones that are turning everyone else off. And if we're getting to a point where people like the library are telling people that actual service animals are not welcome in the building, now that was a mistake, but still it happened. If you are at that point, well, then there's got to be some sort of self-regulation going on out there. And you can't just shrug your shoulders and say, that's no big deal. It's not the rest of the world's responsibility to clean up after your messes. How about that? Ellie Krug is in. Final day with her and for McEntee. We are back on a Wednesday. Have a great one. Until then, see ya.